Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Today, I want to talk about something purely energetic. We're always talking about the rock bottomer in here or the block. And I think at this time of year, it's actually really important to take a little bit of inventory. People can get pretty bluesy this time of year. And one reason why I can, and I've really pinpointed this energetic down, is that I kind of mourn old versions of myself. And I think that this time of year is a really clear time to take inventory. So if you've been manifesting with us for years now, or you started earlier this year, a lot of people came on with the Formula and Magnetism workshop last December. What I really want you to do this weekend is to take a little bit of inventory going back in your journal to just see all of the onion layers you've peeled off, literally everything about yourself you've unblocked, because it's not unlikely that we can mourn these old versions of ourselves. When we start to unblock really a lot of our limiting beliefs and what's not serving us, we lose little pieces of ourselves. What we're really losing are pieces of our ego. But it's so important to connect back with those old versions of self. So a lot of you have been DREing, doing the challenge with us, the daily reprogramming challenge for the last month, and we're taking it all the way to December 15th. So continue. If you aren't on it now, go ahead and jump on. But you can look back now already and start to see some serious layers you've been peeling back. And what can really happen before the new year is we can kind of mourn those versions of self. So an example for me is every holiday season, there's this one point in my life that I get bluesy about, that I kind of miss that old version of myself. It was the most messy version of myself. I was the brokest. I was partying a lot, but I was actually really free at the same time. Even though I didn't have tools to be in my worth and really be magnetic, I was having a wonderful time. I fell in love that holiday season. I partied a lot and that was really a good time, but I kind of always miss her at this time of year. And so I like to reconnect with her. One, in order to see how far I've come, but also two, to see what in my life right now am I being too militant on, that I'm missing little aspects of that version of myself, so that I can start to loop those in to create a little bit more magnetism. So follow me here. When I look at my life right now, I'm so busy with work. I'm so dedicated to healing my body. You know, I've been really dedicated to bringing in a baby. So parts of me that I really need to bring in this new year are enjoying pleasures again. You know, because of my endocrine issues and all the stuff my body's been through, I haven't been able to enjoy things like chocolate, or I can't really drink anymore. I can't eat sugar. So it's really starting to bring in healthier alternatives of those, so I can can feel those feelings and have that pleasure in my life. Pleasure and desire are really big, important, energetic, and manifestation when we're projecting those things. So I encourage you to look at A, those onion layers you've peeled back. B, if you're having feelings come up where you're feeling a little like you miss old versions of yourself, or you're sad and depressed because those versions of you are dying off. It's an ego die-off. What I want you to look at, rather than going back into those maybe bad habits or low self-worth, you know, that's something you'll go through and up-level, is I want you to look at what elements of those points in your life are you needing to loop back into your life right now in order to project a little bit more authentic magnetism. So not falling back into the old habits and the things that didn't serve you, but just kind of lacing in the energetics of what you're needing in order to be whole. And if you're someone who is feeling pretty magnetic, you are going to love Uplevel, because we have a whole workshop in there for you of how to tailor down your life and get a lot more specific about how to pump your magnetism up from worth into deservingness and tapping into your true authentic code. So that'll be really exciting. And then really look out too, because we have some great content coming out on the blog all about this season and what to be doing with this season and working with the energetics of it. So make sure to tune in on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Now let's talk about our guest today, Marta Sofer. I've been hearing about Marta for years now. I want to say 6 years. She is the go-to Ayurvedic spa, Surya Spa, that everybody goes to. Every celebrity, every person in wellness I know. I've known women who have gotten their cycles back from working with her, who have gotten pregnant, who have balanced out their hormones. You know, so I'm always hearing about Marta and how profound she's been for people in their life, their healing journey, just being balanced, being able to deal with Los Angeles. So I think you'll really identify with her story today if A, you're looking to pick up Ayurvedic tips, B, if you're Latino or Latina and you are looking to be expanded on how to kind of listen to the pings, follow your dreams, even if you're looking to transplant to a different country, you will love her story, how basically TM took her everywhere where she is now. And she's so expansive, so beautiful. I love that she doesn't have any fluff. She cuts the bullshit and she gets right to it. So kick back, enjoy this. I'm so excited for you to learn from her. Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with Marta Sofer, and she is the founder of Surya Spa. She is the go-to person from any of my celebrity clients to people I know in Los Angeles, all sexes, all ages. You are the Pachacharma person. So I want you to talk a little bit about what you specialize in at the spa. Also, the bread. Everybody eats the bread because you guys have a cafe there as well.
Yeah, we don't have a cafe, but we do prepare the food for everybody that comes into Pachacharma. So probably most people don't know what is Pachacharma. What is this thing that she's talking about? First of all, I wanted to tell a little bit of story. Maybe this will be interesting, of how Ayurveda came to my life. And it's just so amazing. And anytime I go to different classes or I go to any other teachers or Vajas, which is Ayurvedic doctors, they also express the same thing, I've been feeling, because I've been doing this almost for 30 years now.
Wow.
So it is how Ayurveda comes and look for you. And when it comes to look for you, then it just takes over. Which is in different many ways, because Ayurveda not only is the physical way, it's the spiritual way, intellectual way, lifestyle way. We have the Jyotish, which is the astrology way also. So it's a total lifestyle change that you have when you get Ayurveda into your life. So when I was studying computer science, and I was, my heart was broken. And a friend of my family said, maybe Marta want to learn TM. Mm. And I was like, oh, when my mom told me, like, what is that? Some weird American cult thing. Yeah. Let me just figure it out. And I went to the TM center and I learned TM. And my life totally changed.
Yeah.
Then 3 months after that actually was October 1988.
Wow. So we are on the anniversary.
Yes.
Wow.
That I learned TM. Wow. Literally 3 months later, I was in Iowa at the Maharishi School. I was going to continue doing computers, but then that didn't work out because life had something else for me.
As always.
So I had to do English as a second language. Because English was good, but not so good enough to be in the computer program that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting in the dining room, and we were having lunch. And then this person comes, sits next to me, and she was like slick with oil. And she looked so amazingly peaceful and so radiant. And then I just start talking to her. And she started talking to me about Panchakarma and Ayurveda. And even thought that I'd been in school for already 2 years. Mm-hmm. No, a year and a half. And I had no idea how profound was this.
Wow.
So then I applied to the program. Said, I got to learn this. Not because I was thinking to work on it. Because I was, in my head, I was continuing with computers. So I decided to apply to the program and I got accepted. And then Ayurveda came to my life. Mm-hmm. I probably want to share some things about my physical state of that time when I, things that most people take for granted and I still see it today in my practice. For me, it was okay to go to the bathroom one time a week or two times a week.
Wow.
And that was not something that I would think that just not a normal thing, that it should happen every day.
Yeah.
And then I was suffering with incredible headaches, like really, really bad headaches. As soon as I learned TM, my headaches started to get better.
Wow.
Just merely to do in 20 minutes of meditation.
Wow.
Then after that, then started Ayurveda, and then I saw the doctor, and I started learning everything, and I was like, oh, you actually have to go to the bathroom. You're supposed to go every day, not like once or twice a week. And that's probably what the reason why all these things are happening to me. So that was one of the major changes that, first of all, spiritually, it just totally changed. Even thought that I was grew up in a Catholic family. We go to and a Catholic school. So there was a lot of religion and a lot of spiritual practices and stuff like that. And rituals, which is very important. And I still do some of those, but more in Ayurveda part of it. Not so much of the other rituals, more of the Catholic religion they do.
Yeah.
So learning Ayurveda, for me, learning about the food, the importance of that you eat this is going to affect your body in positive or negative way. So, and nowadays that the food, especially in America, I will say, it's been so genetically modified.
So
and
bad.
So many pesticides and so many herbicides. It's very important that people do not take that for granted and try to eat organic as much as possible.
I agree.
So Ayurveda, in all these ways, changed my life. And then I had... Then I started working at the Maharishi clinic on Sunset. He had Maharishi, Ayurveda had like 5 different clinics. And so I went to train some people during for 6 weeks. And during those 6 weeks, I met my husband, Roger.
Wow. So he was at the Maharishi school as well?
No.
Oh.
He used to go meditate.
Oh, wow.
He used to go meditate every day at 7 in the morning and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so during those 6 weeks, we met. And then after that, well...
well, he's here still
today.
That's
another story. So. during those 6 weeks, then we start implementing... I helped the clinic to put a little bit more of computer stuff and doing more things to be able to help to do more systematization on that. And then train all the girls in Ayurveda after I graduated from Maharishi. And then when Maharishi closed the clinic, I decided... people keep calling me, can you just do Panchakarma for me? So then finally I opened a space in 2001.
Wow.
It was a little apartment with just one room, two rooms, and then I start doing Ayurveda and Panchakarma there.
Wow.
So when we do the Panchakarma, that's what we do
right now. That's your specialty.
Yeah.
Right?
So Panchakarma are different ways of detoxing the body. So one of the ways that we were talking just previous, we did this, is sweating. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not the sweating like going into an infrared box or going to a sauna or going to any place where it's enclosed. Ayurveda talks about being very important to have your head cool mm-hmm. while you're sweating. Mm-hmm. So the head never should be hot.
And the eyes, really, too,
and protect,
right?
And the eyes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the treatments that we do, sweating. Mm-hmm. And now with the infrared, I try to stay as much as possible into the traditional way. Mm-hmm. But I also think because Ayurveda was basically cognized by the sages, it was like literally cognized by the sages. What I'm saying is like all the solutions and all the things that came, they would just like download mm-hmm. to them. So I think the sweating was one of them, but there is another treatment called Shirodhara, mm-hmm. which is really, whoever thought about that, it has to be something
from somewhere else.
Because who thought about pouring oil on your forehead?
And that much oil, I see it and I'm like, that's so much oil.
That is going to take you to a different state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I have people that say things, they see things. Mm-hmm. They say that after you have a treatment like that, you feel so different. Mm-hmm. You feel like all the stress has been like washed off mm-hmm. of your body. So it has to be something really special that whoever cognizes that you put something in your head, like dripping in here, that's going to take you to different states of consciousness.
It's incredible.
So that's the Shirodhara. Then we have the Abhyanga, which Abhyanga is, you guys, is again another thing that is just so incredible. Have you ever had one?
Oh, I do it daily, and I've gone to get them done as well. I always go to Pratima when I'm in New York, and now I have to always come to you when I'm in LA. But they're so important, and the herbs I think are what make them even more important, like specialized to the different doshas. Because it's one thing to just do it with the suggested oil, but when they're laced with the herbs, I mean, that takes you to a different space and a different energy. Not so much consciousness for me, but it's an entirely different grounding state for me.
Yeah, just the fact that two people are doing this, one side and the other side, and they're just going completely synchronized, mm-hmm. doing the Abhyanga on you. There's just like something so magical that happens again where you just like leave your body if it's done the right way.
Yeah.
So that's what is very important. For me, it's very important to keep it, to be done the right way.
Oh, I love that.
To make it slow, not fast.
Yes.
Because the minute that you put fast into something, like I explained something that it would be talking, we were talking about Vata before.
Which I always tell everyone, I'm just so Vata. Even taking a shower, I can't just do it slow. So I can't ever slow down.
So this is like something very simple, but people do not think about this. And Vata, so everybody knows what Vata means. Vata means movement. Vata means air, cold. So what I wanted to show you about this is like I can just go and let's say I can go from, I'm going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go like this.
That's me.
And then come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I can do this. I can just like go, get it.
Slow.
Come back.
Conscious. Yeah.
That little difference,
mm-hmm.
what it does to your nervous system and to your body is incredible.
It would make the biggest difference for anybody who's listening and not able to watch. What Marta was showing is the difference between, no, it's great. The difference between rushing to grab something and then just slowly and consciously doing something to shift out of Vata, I assume.
Yeah. So how you guys move, how you guys are in the car, like you have to go someplace. You're going to be late. Just let it go. Because it's not good to put that into your nervous system.
Yeah.
It's not good to put that rush. Because the minute, especially with the phones and the
stimulation,
all the internet,
everywhere,
all the things that we have right now, we are just going all day.
Absolutely. I practice Veda, TM, but Vedic, I learned it as well. And what my teacher was saying, what we experience in one day today is what we experienced in stimulation for our entire lives 200 years ago with everything that's at us constantly. And so I assume everybody has a Vata balance.
Everyone.
Or shifts into Vata constantly.
Everyone. Everyone. You know? I was in a class this Sunday, actually, and it was a very emotional class for everyone. And there was an exercise where one person had to follow the other person. But the person that was following the other person, it was actually very close to the other person. And this was making the person really not good because it was kind of, I don't like you to be so close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was... But I was just talking. She was like, even though there was an exercise, she wasn't going anywhere. She was walking so fast in the room.
Wow.
Then they said, who else wants to do it? So I said, I'll do it. And I did it with my daughter, which is in the class also. And then I started walking. And that's what the first thing they noticed is like, you're walking very slow compared to the other person.
Yeah,
yeah. I said, you always walk like that. And then I said, When I don't have to, I walk slowly.
Wow. Oh, so that's just one thing everybody listening can implement right now.
Yes,
is slowing.
As simple as that.
Down.
And just that already lifts your nervous system. But just having your phone in your hands is Vata aggravating.
It is. It's true. Even me just seeing the light. It turns me into Vata. It's a stimulation, which they show scientifically. It's the same eliciting as drugs or any type of stimulation, a stimulant. But I really quickly want to go way back and I want to hear about your cultural upbringing. You're from Colombia.
Yeah.
And I want to hear, tell us about just your life growing up, your family in a nutshell, what that was like. Nobody ever goes, oh, sure.
Okay, that's good. Well, I grew up, my family is very, very big.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, when I was little, she divorced my father. And then so my father went out the picture.
Oh, wow.
Totally. Maybe one time I was playing outside with my brother and then this car stopped and there was a guy there. And then my brother went and talked to him and I was sent to my brother. My grandmother said to not talk to any strangers. Mm-hmm. And that was my father.
Wow. How old were you when that happened?
I must have been like 6 years old.
Wow. So he really was gone.
Yeah, he was gone. Mm-hmm. So that was my grandpa. But my grandmother, which I adored, she used to make all these things. She used to take marijuana and then put it in jars. Mm-hmm. She had this, we had different farms. And then in the farms, she would have like the rose garden. And the farms in Colombia, they are more, since you've been in Colombia, so probably you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We have farms where are more recreational farms.
Yeah.
So where people on Fridays, they go drive to your farm.
They go to the country.
And they go to the country.
The country
and
house.
And just like literally you go in the pool, you go horseback riding.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our farm, we make more food for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, the potatoes, the tomatoes, the roses, the milk, the meat.
You did the corn and you did your own tortilla.
Made from the farm.
Wow.
So that's the way I grew up.
Okay.
So very natural food. And then all that food was put in a truck. And then it will get to Bogota where that food will be cooked for the family for the whole week.
Wow. Did you guys grow panela?
Panela?
And chia?
Yeah.
Wow. You had it all.
So my grandmother had these incredible gardens in the family, in the farm. And they also, in our house, she had internal gardens.
Wow.
Like she would make this room and put glass and then it will make it into internal gardens.
Oh my
and she
gosh.
Will have all her flowers and herbs and stuff. So since I was very little, I saw her doing these things and she had arthritis. So what she did is she will take the leaves, put it in the, actually she will do this every full moon.
Wow.
And then put that, and then she will apply after a month of that being in the alcohol.
Yeah.
She will apply it into her arthritis.
Wow.
And that helped her enormously.
So she was
arthritis.
Already doing the THC infusion and to use that for anti-inflammatory.
Yes.
Incredible.
So when my 20s mm-hmm. started to be more illegal mm-hmm. to do that. But in that time, it was just another plant.
Yeah.
It was not something that it was known as people are starting to smoke it mm-hmm. kind of around in that time. So my grandmother, also an amazing cook.
Wow.
So all my aunts and my uncles, all of them pretty much cook incredible.
Wow.
The food that we make is, and when you go to Colombia, people, the flavor of the food is really, really good. And it doesn't have to be because we use spicy food. Mm-hmm. It's the flavor yep. itself, the way we combine spices and actually vegetables together.
And the markets are so important in Colombia, I feel, because you just, I mean, anywhere, like in South and Central America, the markets, you don't, like when you go to the actual old farmers markets and you go to get the chili and you go and get everything, it's so magical. And it was so incredible to see that you really see that 80% of the world literally still goes to herbal medicine first. Because you go to a Colombian market, along with going to get your groceries, you walk to the herbs and they're all hanging and you go and you grab your herbs and what you need, and everybody knows herbalism for the most part, it seems.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's losing now.
No, just still, like, I was in Colombia just 3 months ago and it was just really amazing. I wanted to go to one of those things because I love going in there and seeing it. And also you see the all the plants that they use for, like, we call it the seven herbs.
I don't know what that is.
So these seven herbs are like baths that you do to clean your aura.
The bañas. Is that what that is? Because Chloe, one of our great friends that's a healer, she grew up in Mexico, between Mexico and Europe, and she administers a lot of Mexican medicine. Mm-hmm. And so she talked about bañas that she
bañas.
Does. Yeah.
We don't, not bañas.
But maybe, I mean, it's different.
No,
it's
probably
Colombia.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Because it's Mexico, it's probably mm-hmm. the same thing. Probably kind of very similar herbs
very
too,
similar, yeah.
But that's something that we do. So
what is yours? Do you take them still? That's so, or is it included in this, or this is all Ayurvedic based?
No, this is Ayurvedic.
Yeah.
This is Ayurvedic.
So what were those that you grew up with? I'm so curious. I've never heard of them.
So what is so amazing? I wish I had pictures because it's so amazing. You see them, but you probably see them when you went to Colombia.
Yeah.
So you go to these little places like. This little.
They're tiny boxes.
Herbs yep. everywhere hanging. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
And then they have all even dry herbs, but mainly fresh herbs.
Yeah.
So you take all these seven herbs that we talked about,
yeah.
and then we boil it.
To make an infusion?
To make an infusion, like yeah. a big, big infusion. And the whole house smells incredible. And then you go and take a bath with that.
Wow.
Then you take a shower and yeah. then you save some of it. And then you just pour it. Over your crown.
Wow.
To just like get that infusion and that goodness from the plants for you to help you in your life.
Yes.
So it's,
I love that. What were the herbs that you guys used specifically growing up? Do you remember?
I'm going to try to remember because I know the names in Spanish.
Yeah.
yeah. So there is one, we call it hierbabuena,
uh-huh.
which means good herb.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful.
good herb. And then another one they call the lucky plant.
Uh-huh.
That is very similar to the mint.
I love that they're good, lucky. It's a real, like, it's magic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then we use oregano, mm-hmm. rosemary. There is the planta del ojo, which means the eye plant.
Wow.
I am translating.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm following. Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. Translating. That one is to protect you from bad eyes. So, but in a way, we call it bad eyes, but.
Yeah.
Now that we understand what bad eye means, yeah. is energy from other people that it could be negative.
Oh,
so that protects you from that.
Wow.
There is manto de María, which means the blanket of Mother Mary.
Uh-huh.
That is a little, these white flowers that smell so, so beautiful. And then you just put that in there. There's
protection.
Two more. Protection, yeah. Mm. Basil is one of them.
Wow.
And there's one more.
I'm going to Google. This sounds amazing.
Yeah,
how special you grew up with that.
Yeah. And then we have the saumerios, It's like a thing like this, like the uses in the, actually they use that in the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah,
did you see them going like this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's you steam it essentially, or is it just you do it for
burn,
incense?
And then
incense,
you just have
it.
All the smoke coming.
Wow.
All the smoke coming, and then you do your house.
Wow.
Like once or twice a month.
Yeah.
With these herbs
and to then cleanse
you,
it.
Then just to clean the energy in the house. So they sell all the different herbs and the little. It's like little things like this made out of charcoal.
Uh-huh, like resin kind of. No?
It's like similar to what they have here,
okay.
But it's like, it's more like a, it looks like this, but smaller.
Oh, wow.
And then the way it burns is quicker than the ones they have here of charcoal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you put the herbs inside.
Uh-huh.
Because the one here, it's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. These ones, you put the herb inside.
Yeah.
And then it starts burning on the outside.
Wow.
And then you do this.
And then you walk around your house.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. You grew up with so much magic. I'm so happy you grew up in your culture too,
yeah.
With your family.
Yeah.
What's your astrology, your Western sign, and then your Vedic?
I am Gemini.
You are Gemini. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And in astrology, yeah. I'm Aries.
You're Aries.
Aries,
wow. Both are the most magnetic signs,
yes.
In manifestation.
Yes.
They just are the quickest manifestors.
Yeah.
Well, that takes me to the next question, how you manifested your move to the States.
Well, meditation.
Oh, wow. So that's what took you, was to
yes.
go study.
The minute I learned TM, literally 3 months later, I was able to sell my apartment, my house, all my things, get the visa, even thought that I wasn't having too much help from my family to go because the boy that the mom of my boyfriend,
yeah.
was the one that helped me with all the accounts in America to
wow.
support for me to come.
Wow.
It was like a miracle.
See, so, and then can you talk about just in a nutshell that breakup? Because I'm going to lay out to them how manifestation works through that. Because it sounds like your heart was broken and then she came in and helped and you learned TM and like everything moved out of your way.
Well, it was really amazing because I'm in my apartment. And I'm working for a huge company mm-hmm. in computers. I'm developing, I'm the head of the department of Senec. And this is an engineering company that we were making the software
mm.
to control the water.
Wow.
In Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in Colombia is that the poor people break the pipes to steal water, to
okay.
get
yeah.
water for their house.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were trying to build, it was software that it will kind of see where the pressure will go down.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll know where the water was
broken. Yeah.
So that's what we were working on.
Wow.
So I was working for that.
And that was in the 80s.
Yes.
Wow. Was that at the height of everything or that turned into the 90s when Colombia, the height of everything was going on?
No, that was 88.
88. Okay.
That
wow.
was I was working for that company between 87 and 88.
Okay.
So at that point I am with this boyfriend, and then he just decides, I had an apartment that is very unusual
mm-hmm.
because in Latin America, normally you don't leave your house until you're married.
Until you're married, yeah.
Yeah.
You stay
so
home.
Like there's people that stay home, 30,
yeah.
35, 40,
yeah.
they still live at home with the parents, and
mm-hmm.
they're just normal. Like
totally.
All my nephews,
mm-hmm.
My niece, they all live with the mom in the
yeah.
house, with my brother. Yeah.
My uncle's Iranian. It's Middle Eastern culture. Just, I think most other cultures than America and like continental Europe, everybody kind of still lives with the family.
Yes.
You know, it's beautiful. But you're Gemini. You're like, I'm out of there.
Well, I had to get out of there.
Yeah, too many people.
I had to get out of there. The situation, after my grandmother divorced my grandfather, then I couldn't live with my grandmother anymore because I grew up with my grandmother.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was married again.
Mm-hmm.
She had two kids. When my grandmother got divorced, I had to go and live with my mom and her husband.
Oh, wow.
And then after a while, it just was not
yeah.
good. Then
okay.
I had to leave. And then I could afford to have my own place, so
wow.
I had my place. Anyway, he was there and he had some clothes and the keys. And then one day I come back from work and everything was gone and the key was there. No note, no nothing. My heart was totally broken.
Totally.
But this is to show you how
yeah.
life goes.
Mm-hmm.
During that time is when my family's friend talks to my mom about me learning TM
mm-hmm.
and about going to America.
Yep.
Coming to America. I learned TM. All that happens, I apply to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm in a gas station, and then I'm putting gas in here, and then he comes in here. And then a truck comes here, and something, another truck here, that they were going to deliver gas, and we couldn't move. So I have to, we have to talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we talk, and then by then I already had all this going.
Yeah.
And then we came back.
But you guys didn't get back together.
Then we got back together.
Well, and then what happened?
Then he, one day he came, and then he said, there's this letter. And then he said, don't open it. Just throw it away. And I said, no, I want to see.
Yeah.
And it was the acceptance of the university.
Wow. Oh, and then you came here.
If he would, that would have not happened.
Yeah.
I would have said, no, I'm not going.
Wow. Incredible. So it outlines manifestation so well. I have to make a note for anybody who follows the work. So your heart's broken. I call those earthquake moments. It's like rock bottom. It just rips everything out from under you. And then the universe, I believe, comes in and goes, well, here's what you're supposed to be doing in life. Yes. It like clears the way. And you know, your mom's friend was a beautiful mentor and you said yes. So you accepted it. You got on your authentic path and all of a sudden things just start happening and going for you. But you know what always happens in manifestation when somebody breaks your heart is they come back, or it's a test. It comes back to be like, do you accept this life, this authentic flow that you're on, or are you going to settle again?
Yeah.
And you accept it.
Yeah.
And now look, everything, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for you. And now you have a great husband. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask you some Ayurvedic questions, and then I'm going to sprinkle in some personal stuff along the way too. Mm-hmm. First, I want to get into, because we're really calling in all of our communities, right? I really want to support them deeper. And so we're calling it the wise, our 45-year-olds and over who have kind of, you know, they've had their turns around the sun and they're going through menopause now. And then we'll talk about our younger parents. But first, how the clinic in Ayurveda supports menopause and supports those transitions that people are going through in their lives.
Okay, so menopause, first of all, we have to accept it that that's what's happening. We're going to get older. That skin is going to not be so tight and beautiful as it was before. There's not as much production of estrogen in your body. All the hormones start, so you start kind of drying, because that's when I would call it the wisdom time. So we have to look at it more in a, for
the
me,
wise, that's what I call
like,
them.
Yeah, like it's a wisdom comes, and it's just a different part of your life where you have to give to others. So this is what we have to do now. So when menopause comes, that transition, it's like you have to see it like a transition. So yes, it's not the easiest way. It's not easy. Sometimes when you get the hot flashes, and then I've seen women that come to the clinic and they are like, literally they have to have another shirt with them in their...
Because they're sweating so much.
In their purse, because they sweat so much. And it's just suddenly, we just can be talking and suddenly they get like totally red, and you can see the sweat coming here, the sweat coming here. And even the sweat, it's like when you go into menopause, you sweat in places that you never sweat. You sweat in your legs. You sweat in your, it's like, I don't know, I will say, if you feel like you're going to get sick and then you feel like you're sweating in places that you never sweat. That's what happens to your body, but the whole body.
Oh, man. It's because I've had that happen when just my hormones are off, when estrogen drops too quickly when they've risen. And it, and I've experienced where I wake up and my bed is just completely soaked. So I can't even imagine all day long going through that transition. And well, I better imagine, because it's going to come one day soon.
No, because that's what is so beautiful about Ayurveda, that it will prepare you for that.
Yeah.
And then it's just simple. So what happens when... anything is a change with hormones. Your pitta, which is pitta means the fire in the body. So fire is going to go up in your... So what happens? You are... Nowadays, all the girls are starting to get their periods around 10 years old.
It's,
which is really sad. Normally, when I got my period, it was around 14, 15 years old. And that's where all my peers were getting.
14, and now the hormones are all the food.
Now it's 10 years old. And again, this comes from the food. That just please be aware of this. Be aware of what you give to your kids.
Yeah.
Very, very important. So that time of life comes. And then what happens? Heat comes again. So the teenagers, you see their skin breaking out. And that's, again, heat that is being produced in the body.
It's so like a volcano.
Like a volcano. So... when you go to menopause, it's a kind of the same thing. But here, now we're going to, from heat to cold.
Yeah.
Because now we're going to Vata, which is the dryness. Mm-hmm. There's no more mens. Mm-hmm. There's no more period. That all the hormones are going to start to be just starting to dry everywhere. Your skin starts to dry. Your collagen, your tightness in your food, all that is just more dryness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, the Pitta is coming up, and that's when the heat comes. But it's not that that's going to stay forever. Mm-hmm. It's a certain moment of like, when you are 14, 15, adolescence, it stops. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It stops because then you go to college and all these things already happen.
Yeah.
It's done and your life, your body changes.
Yep.
So already you went to the change. So it's the same thing in menopause. Mm-hmm. So you already went to the change and then you go to this other part.
Phase. Yeah.
The other phase of your life where it's about, and you cannot look at it as bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look at it as like, oh my God, I gain all these things. Now I get to give it to people.
Yeah. And I don't have to have periods anymore, which is awesome. I mean, for some people, not. But no, all of this wisdom, truly, to hold space, to be more, because I like to say, in manifestation at least, the wise, when they are really in their worth, when they're really in their authenticity, and they've really shed all of the blocks that prevent them from feeling that, there's so much magnetism and wisdom for someone there to learn how to recalibrate the way we view that and harness it in a fully different way. There's so much power there. So I love that. And so how do you at the clinic support that transition?
So one of the things is when the Pitta, because you didn't have the knowledge, because you don't know any of this, and you just continue being your life, being aware of these things that they could be there for you, or they haven't come to you because it's not your time.
Yeah.
Which Ayurveda comes when you are ready for it.
Yes, true.
So if you don't have that, and then a person comes in that case, then I'm like, okay, let's go and do Panchakarma.
Okay.
Let's bring the heat down and balance your body so you don't have to be sweating at night. Mm-hmm. Then you can sleep at night, because that was another thing that's very disturbed, which is Vata.
Yeah.
Again. So the moving, thinking,
totally.
The waking up every hour, 2 hours, not being able to sleep. When you before went to bed and got up, you went to bed at 10, you got up at 6.
Yeah.
And you were fine. No. When you get to menopause, you're going to be waking up at 1.
I mean, I do
two,
that now.
At 4.
<I'm Yeah. not>.
So this is what, because the hormones are changing.
Yeah.
So if you really learn that you take food that is not going to aggravate that.
Yeah.
So the food is the main thing.
Okay,
that,
for someone
that,
going through
that. Lifestyle things. Don't go to a sauna because that's going to create more internal heat. Mm-hmm. Don't go to an infrared, even though they're really good, unless you do very little time and you sweat more to detox, sweat and be done. But even when you have too much pitta, when it's like that, you try to avoid things that will create heat.
Yeah, even the food is a big thing.
So on the food, and it's very important to always be aware of this. So in this point of life, you do the pitta pacifying diet.
Mm-hmm.
So the pitta pacifying diet is to do everything that it will create the coolness in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So like things that are acidic is going to produce heat.
Yeah.
Like simple as tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant,
all
bell
the
peppers,
nightshades.
Strawberries,
okay.
Blackberries, sour things, is going to create heat in the body. Spicy food.
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah.
That is a very, very important thing. Mm-hmm. So if you are in menopause, do not eat anything spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol, wine, even if it's just like 1 or 2 cups of wine, it will create the heat in your body. It's like, think about it. You put it inside, you feel the burning going down here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one person that doesn't drink, the first time you drink, you feel it going down and burning.
Yeah, it's so acidic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if I take a glass of wine, and this fireplace will go on, is on, and I throw it into the fire, what happens?
Yeah, it gets higher. It gets more heat. I love that analogy. That's something great to think about for anybody. What you toss on a fire, what will make it burn more?
Yes.
You know, what will cool it more?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. That's
so,
a great way to think of it.
During that time of the menopause, then just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that. And now, what Ayurveda and TCM have learn about transdermal stuff for years. Mm-hmm. Now Western medicine caught up to us, and now they do all the patches and stuff. Yeah. But there is many other ways to do it. Transdermal, like there's a beautiful herb in Ayurveda called Shatavari.
I love, such a powerful herb.
Which is the other name for that is 100 husbands.
Wow. Because you get such a libido. Yeah. Right? Totally. Okay, I love that.
So that's your herb that you need to start using at that time.
I see.
Which is going to create the estrogen, which is going to create the libido, because it's going to create the wetness.
Yeah.
So it's not so dry. Mm-hmm. There is the Vidarikan, that is another beautiful herb that you use with Shatavari.
Wow.
That is also going to support that part of your life in that time.
Absolutely.
So detoxing yourself from all the things that you've done through all this time, to get into that situation that the pitta is so high. Because I have other people that are going through menopause and they maybe got one or two or three times of changes and didn't take anything else.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And so the Panchakarma is just incredibly medicinal for this time to help cool everything, detoxify everything, and then understand the lifestyle to support it during that time.
Yes.
What would be, in a nutshell, your quick tips for anybody who's past that phase in their life, both men and women, to really go into the second phase of being wise, you know, and just going and aging essentially past that point to nourish them? Like your top tips that you love for men and women?
Again, I will talk about, because of the media and the internet and the phones and all this stuff, just remember it's your drying time of life to try to be more aware of all this influence and moving fast and doing things more slowly and taking time to be with your family. Stop. Stop. No, you go home and then you continue. Like I've seen people, when I go for dinner, they take their phone and then just put it there.
Yeah.
Or kids.
Or the TV or all the things.
Yeah. All the time. It's the phone and the media and the looking at the internet or anytime you see it. The other day I was in a meeting and there were like 5 or 6 people. Last night I was in a class. The minute there was the break, everybody went on their phone.
Nobody connecting.
Nobody just like talked to each other.
It's wild.
Everybody was in the phone and looking at the story on Instagram.
Epidemic.
So we are forgetting this. And this is going to catch up in all of us.
What do you predict the negative effects are going to be? I mean, I even see it from just a neuroscience, like neuroplasticity, how our brain's shifting and our attention spans are shifting, our lack of connections even capable at this point. I can't even tune in and read a book fully anymore. I have to listen to it on Audible. It's crazy what's happening.
Yeah. First of all, what it does, the light of the phone on you. Yeah, and that's the first thing you do when you wake up.
And that we're supposed to see the sun is the first thing we do when we wake up. And so it's this quick thing that's happening to our pineal gland and, you know, all of our brain chemistry that's saying, oh, you just slept for potentially 8 hours. Well, now it's 12 p.m. in the afternoon, blue light. It is so crazy. It's crazy.
I was talking to one of the girls that work for me, and she was just saying how difficult it is that something is happening at one of the schools here in LA. I don't want to say what school, but the way that kids are bullying other kids in a really brutal way.
Oh, no.
Brutal way. And using internet for that. Like, they take the picture of this girl, and this girl had to leave the school because she couldn't
handle it. Because of shame.
And they stretch her in the picture to make her look larger and post pictures of her all over the school. So you see, using technology to do these things is going to affect the kids. And I wish computers and phones, they will not be allowed for kids until they are 15.
I love that.
Or only certain time. So they're still being this age and they can communicate and stuff, but not to have them at all. This should not be allowed.
I agree.
It should not be allowed to have... You go to a restaurant and you see a kid, the parents are talking and the kid is in the computer playing some kind of game.
And even just from a nervous system and hormonal perspective of what's the chemistry.
It changes every system in your body.
Every system. It's crazy. Even our light, I think it penetrates, is it 30 millimeters? The blue light penetrates so into our thyroid. So imagine the child's full endocrine system that's being developed right now. Not to mention their neural pathways, their attention span, what they're perceiving to be reality. I know it's such it's such a conflicting time.
We just don't appreciate what we have.
I know.
This body.
I know.
It's so incredibly smart.
Oh my gosh.
And the things that happens into our body that we take for granted. You don't take for granted that your body is making right now water into your eyes. And it's not something that you're making your body do it. It's doing it automatically.
Involuntarily, it's breathing for me right now. It's detoxifying my liver in this very moment, hopefully. I mean, there's a lot of pollution around and who knows what I'm putting into it. But it is so wild how we really take that for granted. I absolutely agree.
No, it's like another example is like if you get into a shock right now, your body will go into the sympathetic.
Trauma, yeah.
Yeah. And then the parasympathetic system in our body, it's just so incredible.
It's incredible. It's so incredible.
And then we take this for granted. We need to take care of this. And if we continue bombarding it with this, we are going to be in big trouble.
So I'm quickly interrupting this incredible conversation, which I'm sure is bringing massive expansion your way, to share that this is a little secret offering just for you guys who are loyally tuning into this podcast. You won't find this on the blog or social media or anywhere else, but we're offering you 10% off with the code EXPANDED. That's capital EXPANDED to sign up for any course on our site and receive 10% off. And so that goes for the formula and magnetism. If you're sitting there wondering how exactly do I manifest, it's your step-by-step process. It also goes towards any of the Unblock series, all of which I always like to say help to pump up your magnetism, with Reparent and Shadow being the most important that every manifester should treat themselves to. And also the roadmaps, which are for the people who are just joining in and don't have the luxury of being able to have a session, or for the people who want to take the programs they already have far deeper in a way more navigated terrain. So enjoy that code, EXPANDED, all caps, and we're so excited to have you as a part of this community. Make sure to also tune in to Supported for extra support weekly when you have questions. Unfortunately, because that's a subscription program, we can't offer a code off on that, but it's there for you and it's cheaper than a pack of gum every month. And I made it that way for myself when I was absolutely broke and had zero support in my life so that it could be accessible for anyone. Last but not least, I hope you're enjoying the episode, and please share any manifestations that are coming from doing these workshops simply using the hashtag FNManifestations.
On the child front, to prepare the conscious parent, what are your biggest tips for somebody who's dealing with infertility? And then I'm going to rotate into postpartum, but I want to hear that. Preparing for pregnancy and dealing with infertility.
Ayurveda is so beautiful in this because I've done it with some clients where we actually prepare, you know how you prepare the baby's room and then you go and paint the room and have the crib and then you have the blanket and all those. The baby doesn't use them.
None of it, I know.
Really, you go through all these and the baby is just going to be
in the village. It's going to sleep next to you. You're going to wrap it around you. It's going to eat off of you. It literally needs nothing. I mean, ish, you know, in the modern world, it's tricky, but I agree. I see that all the time. I agree. Yeah.
But preparing for pregnancy. So I have these couples where actually I was saying preparing the room, prepare the womb.
Yeah.
Instead of preparing the room.
Yeah. More important.
Because this is going to be the room for the baby.
Yeah.
So very important to prepare yourself to be pregnant. So we've done it where we prepare the mom and the dad. Because this is not just only the mom.
I know nobody talks about the preparing the father. So I want to hear both.
Because if I am going to make a baby, you need two.
Yeah.
You need
the seat.
The seat. And the two seats.
Yeah.
You need these two seats to get together to make a baby. Yeah.
And the soil and the mom. That's the room. Preparing the room.
So if you have this egg, and this egg is full of heat and vata and pitta and kapha, and it's not a balanced egg. Yeah. When the sperm comes, that is also not, let's say, it goes, this is not going to be balanced. Mm-hmm. What are we going to make? So if the mom prepares and clean and detox herself and clean the womb and the room for the baby, you're, and the dad does the same thing where they have to have all this aggravation in their body. The seed that is, these two seeds are coming. They are consciousness. Mm-hmm. They are already planned to be a conscious living being that mm-hmm. is going to be on earth.
Mm-hmm. And all traditional cultures really shared this in common, that they really prepared. I mean, across, you know, Weston Price was the really big one to go and study that. From every indigenous culture that still was pretty untouched all around the world, most, I think all actually prepared both the mother and father. They prepared it like you do with farming and consciousness and spirituality to really, really set up not only consciousness, but for health, for, I mean, everything to space out so that the mom would be replenished enough again for the second birth of choosing that. So it's so important with Ayurveda. You have such strong, beautiful practices around that.
So when I've done it where like the person that I'm thinking is just so beautiful, because when I met her, she was already pregnant mm-hmm. and she had the baby. And then for the second one, they both see Panchakarma mm-hmm. and they both, and then I said, okay, let the first period do not try to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then in the second period, then we try. So she did that. She got pregnant right away.
Wow.
She said, it's amazing to see the difference between how the pregnancy on one and the other one and how the delivery of one of the other one was so different.
Wow.
And it's just because you prepare, you ate the right food, they feed the baby the right food. It's just incredible.
Remarkable.
And then taking care of two pregnancy too.
And truly just going back to what we traditionally all did before. Yeah. Before there were so many exterior influences going on in such a busy life and such a modern world. I love that.
Yeah. And you see, nowadays, I've seen it more and more. People are starting to look for the old ways mm-hmm. of healing yourself. The old ways of, oh, this was the way my grandmother used to do this. Yeah. And I'm starting to hear more of this now, mm-hmm. to go the old ways to do things.
Absolutely. And when you had your children, did you practice both old ways? Because Colombia is so rich with the 40 days, right?
Yeah, I did with both of them. 40
you did.
Days of the 40 days, and I have someone that's that's what we do, the mother baby program,
yeah.
where we go to the mom's house for the first 40 days and we cook for them mm-hmm. and we do the abhyanga and we teach the mom and the dad how to do the abhyanga on the baby.
Oh, amazing.
So how to do the massage on the baby. Oh. So this baby, my babies, my kids, they both got massage for the first 18 months of their lives.
Wow.
And my son had like a little skin condition because uh-huh. when he was being born, the nurse was, I wanted to have it in a birthing center
uh-huh.
that they were starting to come to the birthing center.
Yeah,
at that
wow.
point.
Just then.
But then one or two or three babies died and then they closed the birthing center yeah. where I was going. So I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But when my son was about to be born, I went to the hospital. They put all the monitors and everything, and then I turned around and I felt him come. I felt
wow.
him going. Do you have kids?
No, okay. No, I can't get pregnant. For like, we have to come do Panchakarma.
Okay, let's do it. when the baby, I felt him go down, and the nurse was like, "No, don't worry. It's the cervix. I just pushing the cervix. Do not push the baby because it's gonna hurt his head mm-hmm. with the cervix." I'm like, no, the baby is there.
Yeah.
And she will not believe me.
And he was your first?
I'm the second.
Oh, so you knew, really knew. You had been through it, yeah.
So I had to scream at her to look because I felt it.
Yeah, yeah.
She opened and then look.
Sees the head.
The head
crowning.
Was out.
Yeah.
And she was like, do not push.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that? What? Yeah. Like, the most natural thing.
Yeah. Because there was no doctor. My doctor wasn't there. So the nurses are not allowed to deliver a baby.
Wow.
So they went and woke up a doctor. In the meantime, I'm like...
holding.
Like, because there was no one to deliver my baby.
Wow.
So finally, when the doctor... I just couldn't hold it anymore.
Yeah.
And then just push. The water went to his lungs.
Oh.
So this affected his lungs.
Yeah.
Luckily, I know Ayurveda, and yeah. I had a real remedy that I did for him. Great. After to take out all the fluid.
Congestion, yeah.
And it was an amazing experience.
Wow.
Doing that and experiencing that of having the knowledge that I have to apply it in my son.
That's why I feel like every parent, aunt, grandma, grandfather, whomever, should at least teach themselves basic herbal medicine or reteach themselves. It's the stuff we know ancestrally, but even the simplicity of like, I mean, I'm an herbalist Western and I know a bit of Ayurveda and I study TCM, but it's like, even just when you get a cut, you don't need a Band-Aid always. You can just stick some cinnamon in and stop the bleeding. And then you use some lavender to clean it out. You know, there's so many, what's in our bathroom that we can use of essential oils to just
like Sangre de Dragon, or yeah. Dragon's blood. It's really amazing.
Totally.
You put it and it just like,
that's it.
Stops
and
it.
There's no scarring. No. The inflammation goes away. The bacteria. That's why I always encourage just go pick up the most basic herbal knowledge book for your household. Because not only is it so important, but it really is the cleanest way out there. So I love that you knew that. As a mom, that you could do that for your son is so special. And it also takes the control back into our hands for the most part. And it's the cheapest thing possible is to have the knowledge.
Totally. Like you were doing this, that reminded me one of the things after having the babies, bind yourself.
Yeah.
Put all your organs back together and protect them. Don't be lazy. Don't go like, oh, I like that thing. No, it is so amazing what it will do to your body. It will put your body back to where it was before you had the baby, and it will protect all your main organs and the intestines and your uterus and your
and
bladder.
And it places them all back
and
in place.
And helps them put the back. It's just so really
the most
important.
Ancient.
Because you were like this.
Yeah.
Now all this is gone. So now there's space, or it's vata, so it's movement. So if you hold it back again, some moms are lazy to do that, and it's just so important. That little thing, it just already makes such a difference.
And so explain to us what everything that's entailed in the mom and baby program that you guys have.
So we go to your house and then we'll give you a massage every day. Mm-hmm. The idea to do it for the first 40 days. So most moms do it like 6 days a week, or some people cannot not do it 6 days. So they do it 3 days or 2 days. Mm-hmm. And it is... and then we cook for the mom. So then, like, the idea is that the mom is the most peaceful because your body went to an immense amount of work.
That's what it is for your nervous system. It's
make
so...
make all this happen. And one of the beautiful things that you see with the moms is, like, do you know what the linea negra is?
No.
When you get pregnant, there's this black line.
Oh, yeah, the one from your belly.
The linea negra. That it just goes... And it stays there all through your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And it stays there to your 40 days.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Wow.
At the 40 day, like around 36, starts to disappear.
Wow.
And it disappears.
Wow.
It's very magical.
So it's just like the moon, following the moon. It's communicating to us.
Yeah. Wow. So then we go and give the massage to the mom. We don't do anything with the baby. We teach the mom and dad how to do it with the baby. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we teach them how to do the Abhyanga on the baby, which is the touching part for the babies at that point. This is very, very important because it helps with the nervous system and the developing. And then we teach them how to do the exercises to develop the right side and the left side of the brain for the baby. So there will be later coordination. Mm-hmm. So we'll teach them how. That's the mother-baby program.
I love that.
And then
we'll
teach them what are the foods they need to eat the first week, the second week, the third week, and the fourth week.
Oh, such a beautiful thing to have that resource available here. I love that. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions from the people that we put it out on Instagram. Okay. They wanted to know stuff. Some of them are quite basic, so I just encourage people to go and just Google a few of them. But I'm going to ask some that are kind of not known. So are piercings toxic?
Piercing?
Yeah. Even energetically, what that does to the body.
Well... Nowadays we have, again, technology, we can find out that if we pierce a point right here in the ear or pierce here or in the tongue that I've seen, and I've seen people that actually learn after that this point is your heart.
It's all your marmas or your different meridians. So you're literally blocking, because like I even have major adrenal issues and I used to have... should have listened to my parents on all of the things, but I had a belly button piercing, which is your adrenal point right there. So yes. It's like, hello, it's not crazy.
So if you're going to, and the same thing with the tattoos. Mm-hmm. So I'll see it in the same kind of thing, because if you see how the dermis or the skin works, is that all that ink is toxic for mm-hmm. the body. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, it is toxic for
no
the
way
body.
Around it.
And then what happens after the layers, it just goes into the blood and just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
So before you do any piercing, just make sure that where you're piercing is not a major point, yeah. like you said, in your stomach, is the adrenals. Because, yeah, I'm young and not, you feel that. Like,
man,
I'm young,
when we're young,
nothing's
going
to happen to me. It's like, I am like...
Invincible.
Invincible.
Yeah.
And no, this will, you will see it later.
Absolutely.
It's like the same thing with the moms that they don't take care of them in the 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're young, you're fine. But think about it when you get to menopause.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you're going to pay for it.
That's what each, like Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, they're like, the 40 days aren't important for now, right after the birth. It's all for everything in the future.
And they're important for that too, because that's when all this happens.
Yeah.
All the organs and everything comes back to work in a normal way. So in the way they should be. Not if you go on, for example, going up and down the steps when you just had a baby.
Right.
Just the movement,
the pelvic
of that.
Floor,
it's just
everything.
Not good. The pelvic
oh,
floor.
Oh man. Okay. We learned how you study to be an Ayurvedic practitioner. We've answered quite a bit of these. This is actually a good one because I think a lot of people have a few of these removed. If you've had your kidney, appendix, or gallbladder removed, what does Ayurveda have to say about that? Obviously, I had an appendectomy, totally not knowing. I think this was about 4 or 5 years ago, and a lot of my illness stuff started after that. And when I went to see any of my natural doctors after, I just didn't know any better. They said, yeah, we're not supposed to take any organs out of the body. They're all there for a reason, even though modern medicine doesn't, you know, quite believe that scientifically. What does Ayurveda have to say?
Well, but it's also the fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in your case, appendectomy, you have appendicitis. The pain is really unbearable.
I mean, to the point where you throw up, it's so unbearable.
Yeah. So at that point, let's say you are my daughter and you have this and I don't have the knowledge that I have. And then here's a doctor and tells you, is this not operated right now? It's going to turn into peritonitis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah, burst and it's your whole body and, you know, which is a potential, but...
In Spanish, it's peritonitis, but in English, I think it's peritonitis. It's the same thing. So it's going to burst. And if this bursts, your daughter's going to die.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
It's true, yeah.
You go and do it because there is no other option.
And you don't know any other steps leading up to that, what you can do within your power.
I actually know a friend. This is a true story. He had appendicitis. They told him, you have to be operated right now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the same story that I just told. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go rest. And I'm going to change this. Guess what? He went home.
Yeah.
With his mind,
mm-hmm.
with the diet,
mm-hmm.
with laying down, he changed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have
to. Yeah, I mean, it's essentially
surgery.
A bacterial infection that's going on. So it's kind of like, even if you're at the... I do actually just want to tell people this is a possibility because I do wish somebody had told me this as well. Even if you're at the point of being in the ER and it's so bad, you just realize you can get antibiotics. I personally haven't taken any in 8 years. Like, you know, I'm not a proponent, but you can do that and then go traditionally build your body back up as well. If you're at that like near point where it looks like it's going to erupt, I just like people to know that there's so many stages you can do before you have to have a removal.
Just to make you an example of that, it just happened within the last 2 weeks. I have this girl that came and then she had a UTI.
Mm-hmm.
We talk on the phone, yeah, a UTI. You got to come and get the herbs now.
Yeah, yep, yep.
No, you cannot wait.
It just grows.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
No. There's so much you can insist. Please come and get them now. Oh, I'm so much pain. I know I don't want to go and I'll get them tomorrow. So she got him tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that it's too late, but it was too late in this case to be able for the herbs to work
totally.
In a better way. Anyway, she went to took the herbs and another girl that lives with her, the same thing happened,
mm-hmm.
had a UTI. So her got worse, had to go to the hospital. Then she had to have antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Then my herbs, she gave it to her friend.
Mm-hmm.
But now the antibiotics didn't work, then it came back.
Yeah.
And now her kidneys are really hurting.
Yeah.
Then she called me and I said, you got to come now.
Yeah.
And said, okay, I'm coming.
They learned. I will speak to mine as well because I've only had one ever. And it was actually when I first started dating my fiance. So it was like, you know, sexual. That's how I'm like, what did you do to me? I've never had this. What's going on? And so I didn't know what to do. And I asked all of my friends and that I went and I did the antibiotic route and came back right away, of course, because nothing in the bacteria had been. And then it wiped out all of my bacteria. And then we talked to he has a medical intuitive he works with and just use like very high percentage of D-mannose to keep the bacteria getting out and then used all
like
the
cranberry?
Herbs. Yeah, cranberry. Yeah, exactly. And then I've never had another one since.
Take a corn.
Yes.
Take the silk. Make a tea, drink it.
Exactly. So
things just, we have in their house. It's not like it have to be very expensive.
I agree. Yeah. So I just want to expand anybody who might be in those situations that, so, again, it's just empowering the knowledge because when you are at the hospital or you are with a doctor who isn't familiar with these practices, there are steps you can take beforehand if you have the common knowledge. And do you have any recommendations of herbal books that your favorite Ayurvedic books or resources for people who can't make it to Los Angeles? That you suggest that can teach just very basic herbal knowledge?
There is a book that I actually carried at Surya. It's not on herbs, but it's more to understand all the different things that we do in Ayurveda. The nasya. Mm-hmm. Like the nasya, I don't know if you know what nasya is.
No, is
nasya
that the nasal
is something
thing?
That we do is that we put, yeah, it's a whole treatment itself. Okay. But the nasya is just the drops of oil that you put in your nose.
Wow.
So I make one that is with Brahmi.
Yeah.
Or more known, Gotu Kola.
Yeah.
So I use them every time I go into a plane. There's many different ones. But one of the things that I use it the most, I go in a plane, I put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what? In the plane, you are with everything. You put the oil in your nose?
Nothing's coming through. Yeah. You're good.
You don't get sick.
Yeah.
In the middle of the plane, if you go to Europe, it's too long.
Yeah.
You apply the drops again.
Mm-hmm.
And what these drops do to your body, mm-hmm. not only protects you from that, but Brahmi is an amazing herb for the brain. So it lubricates, goes to the brain, it actually lubricates and has the property of helping with your memory.
Yeah. Psychic. We try to drink it when we can before meetings. I forgot it yesterday for our editorial meeting, but it opens up your pineal gland too, so you get all the downloads. Yeah. I love that.
So this book is Ayurveda, mm-hmm. by Dr. Lad.
Ah, great.
Basan Lad. It's a red one, not very expensive, and it has all the different treatments. It has all the pictures of the nails or the tongue, and the tongue where here's the intestines, here's the heart, here's the thyroid, here's the lungs. It has different little remedies. It has all the different Vata, Pitta, Kapha diets, all the vegetables. It's a very simple little book, and it has different remedies for that.
And who was the author again? Dr.
Lad.
Okay.
Basant Lad.
I don't have that one. That sounds like an amazing...
It's really amazing.
Introduction.
Really, really amazing book. It's like very complete. And it's, like I said to you, and it's fun to read.
It is. Okay.
You read it in like fast. If you have something, you're like, oh, I think I read this. Maybe I'd try this. And you try it. And it's just like...
So it's so...
It's like really effective.
It's
in
so
many things.
Magical. And this will be the last one I ask from everybody, but what Ayurvedic rituals can we all incorporate into our lives? You know, actually, I want to ask one question before that. For the men who are tuning in, I really want to support them because even, you know, Kate, who works with us, who used to be, you know, working, that's who luckily introduced us to you because I've been dying to meet you forever, but said that you have just as equal men clients as you do women. What are some of your top, if you're speaking to them that are listening, what are your top things that you would like to say to them? Because I feel like this has been so nurturing for women.
Yeah, we do have a lot of men that come to Surya, mainly women, because women are more conscious about their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
For the men, Abhyanga, again, just like do the massage every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple. You do it, you go in the shower, and then you continue with your day.
Yeah.
men, I would think, is more influenced by, again, computers than women.
Mm-hmm.
Women too, I'm not saying not, but I think men is more mm-hmm. because they are more more like men.
Yeah.
More, like, more like a...
The masculine.
A masculine, yeah. Feminine. That, I will tell men that I don't think men are as conscious as about using products with all the amount of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
That women are more aware of it. Mm-hmm. But men should be aware of it too.
Absolutely.
They think there's more like a woman thing to do. No, men need to be aware of it too.
Yeah. Especially men preparing also for pregnancy as well.
Yeah.
Because it's an endocrine system.
But not even if it's not a pregnancy. Yeah. Just using a deodorant with all those kind of chemicals, here's your lymph glands.
I know.
It's going to go inside your body. So just be aware of not... perfumes and all these things that affect our bodies. Mm-hmm. And men are not aware of that.
Not as much. Yeah, I agree. Now, last but not least, what are Vedic rituals can we all incorporate into our lives? The top ones that you think everybody should be doing across the board.
The first thing in the morning that I recommend to everyone to do is scrape your tongue.
Yeah, always. Not a day goes by. I can't. Otherwise, it's just gross now. I've been doing it for so long. If you let the bacteria sit, it's kind of gross to me now.
That's, again, another magical thing about your body is like whatever it is that you ate, not good for you, that the toxins brings it back to your tongue.
Okay.
And if you don't clean them every day, you're going to put them back into your body. So Ayurveda talks about that, talks about cleaning your eyes with cold water.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have to be careful with water. Just use purified water.
Yeah.
That's one. The other thing is drinking water in the morning
mm-hmm.
before you start your day. And warm water will be better
mm-hmm.
Than cold water. Ayurveda is very big. And I think TCM is also not warm. To drink cold water.
Yeah.
Because it's not good for your digestion. The Abhyanga, massage to going to sleep before you go to sleep to bring all the day and to sleep better, massage your feet with ghee.
Ah, that's a good one. I don't
do
that.
Beautiful the way you sleep and the way you feel. When you, just before you go to sleep, you massage your feet, under your feet, on top of the food, and...
That's amazing.
It's really... That really thing. And try not to have... Come back to reading, not having the computer and saying, you know, before you go to bed. Or
my new rule is the sun goes down, computer's off, sun goes up until the sun goes up and I look at the sun. We've been working a lot lately, so I haven't been doing it, but I look at the sun before I open any electronics. And once the sun's down, electronics are off, just because of the brain chemistry and hormones alone.
Yeah, but those little things, it helps the body so much.
Yeah, so much.
To be with the circadian rhythm of the world.
Of the sun. Well, we have Kate here too, who used to work so closely with Marta. What do you think our community needs to know that you know about that's just so cool? At least one or two things. Yeah, you can come in. Yeah, come on in. Because I don't want anybody to
literally
miss.
This woman is magical.
Yeah.
This is what you need to know.
And then we'll finish off with last few. Anything you think that will really support everybody in the community since you were there?
She is pure magic. And I think even if you're not into wellness, still do it. Mm-hmm. Like still go see Marta or see like an Ayurvedic practitioner, because I've seen how it's helped like people in my family who are not wellness people at all.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, like that's like potatoes. Corn state, you know? And actually my grandparents came and did Panchakarma.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible thing.
For them?
They looked like 15 years younger. Yeah, he wasn't walking. Yeah.
Wow. So he was able to walk after. I mean, that's incredible.
So incredible. So it's like truly life changing.
And for
I wasn't sleeping when I first, like I slept like 2 hours a night when I was first seeing her, and she's amazing.
And for the wise, the masculine, since we're really going to start speaking, and the parents, what are the ones that each one of those need to know about for Marta?
Well, for the wise, I think it's not too late to start is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just seeing how it has helped my grandparents has made me realize like they're in their 80s mm-hmm. and it is so not too late to start. I think Ayurveda feels very overwhelming to some people, you know? And I think just do the small things and start there. Mm-hmm. And then for the masculine, once again, like, it's not a girly thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for women in wellness. Mm-hmm. So
I love it's powerful. That. Any of the tips that you picked up that you watched while you were there for the masculine that you think are must be known?
I think one of the ones that is really interesting in like my body when I feel like I'm too in the masculine, doing oil on my head, like a sesame oil, like a Brahmi oil, is so incredible.
It is. That is magic what that does to the body. Absolutely.
Yeah. And oh, and the ears. That's incredible. Yeah.
To calm everything.
Marta, wow. Get back in here.
Yeah, we'll get her back in to finish it out. Thank you so much, Kate. All right. And then last but not least, I want to tell us about the bread. Tell us about where we can find you. I want everybody to know where to come in and connect.
Well, the bread. Oh, the bread started because nowadays I pretty much recommend everyone to not eat any wheat.
Yeah.
Because it's no matter what, it's genetically modified. Yeah. And it will affect your brain. And it will affect your stomach. I have so many people with incredible stomach issues. Young people. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about people from 20 to 30.
Man.
More than a handful.
Wow.
Where the lining of the stomach is basically not there.
Wow.
And a lot of leaky gut and colitis. And
yeah.
So I said, I have to create something that I want to eat myself too for breakfast, because I'm not going to be able to have the bread, which is something that even from the Bible, the bread was like created to be eaten, sacred. And now we cannot eat it.
Yeah.
And I understand it's delicious and there's nothing wrong with wheat. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to Europe, eat wheat. There's wheat. No problem.
No problem. Just, we all talk about that. You know, Lila just got back from the Ukraine and she has celiac and she's like, it doesn't bother me. And Europe, it's exactly what you're saying. It's not bastardized. It's like...
So I had to create something. So I started like, okay, I'm going to start playing with making something. So I started making the bread at the house. And it was fun because I would go like, okay, today I'm going to put Brazil nuts and macadamias and pine nuts. And I will go to the farmer's market and I will get figs and blueberries and whatever it was in season. And then I will put it with the almond flour and the coconut flour. And then I will bake the bread. And it was for the clients only and for my family. And then start being like, can I just buy one?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you can buy it. Yeah, I can make an extra one. And then and two, three. Where was some pine that were making 18, 20. And I just said, this is, I cannot.
Live like this.
Do this. And do this at the same time. It was too complicated to continue doing it. And too expensive because the things that I was putting in was like
such
the
high
best
ingredients.
And high ingredients. So like, just like, and I will not feel good to charge someone $30 for the bread.
Yeah.
But the ingredients that were in there, it was expensive. So then I decided to, my husband actually, Roger, help on this, on making it more commercial. And then so we got a company that will bake it. They had to change the recipe a little bit because the ingredients will not be able to make it.
Yeah.
So we changed the recipe a little bit and now we're selling it at the farmers markets.
Wow. It's so funny because a lot of my friends will stay with me when they're from out of town. Ashley Neese is a good friend of mine and I'll come and every time somebody's staying with me, I'll walk into the kitchen and the bread will be in there. Like somebody will always have gone down to the Palisades and gotten the bread.
Yeah. So we get it at our website,
suyaspa.com.
Yeah, anytime.
Oh, fantastic. So anybody around the world?
We do have a way of packing it, put it in the ice. And
great.
And normally when it's out of state, we only the Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
So then it's enough time with the ice to be safe for the bread. But if you order a Thursday, you have to wait until Monday or Tuesday for us to send it. So
much integrity. That's incredible. Yeah.
So the one... So we have the farmer's market in the Palisades, the one in Santa Monica, and the one in Brentwood.
Great.
That's the bread there. And then Huckleberry, the cafe. Have you been there?
No.
Oh my God, so good. They're the same owners of Rusty Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Casilla. So wow. They have our bread there.
Oh, wow. So do they serve it?
No.
No, just
they
sell.
They sell the bread.
Okay.
They sell the bread there. And we just actually, I think because my son got another friend of his, we started to try to get it to Erwan.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, this happened just with the last 3 days.
Oh.
They wanted to try the bread. So yeah. They're trying to see. And
great.
If that works, then it will be in Erwan also.
Then it'll be everywhere.
Then that's like the Mecca.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll get in for sure. Everybody loves this bread.
Yeah.
So right now the programs you offer is Panchakarma. And everybody comes and does a consultation with you and they come. And you're the one who suggests exactly what they need.
Yes. Excellent. And then how many days they should be doing.
Okay.
Normally I recommend for people most of the time to do 7 days.
Yeah.
So then it goes to the 7 different tissues of the body.
Amazing.
So it's like you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the tissues. That Panchakarma, then we do the mother baby, then we do the bread, and then we have all different products. Right now, I'm working on developing all these products that I have, you know, like if you wear a pre-maker for you, or I'd show you, oh, I have this oil
like
that
the
I use.
Oil. And,
but I never... Yeah. Sold it. So right now, because we're moving to more of a commercial spot, mm-hmm. where we're moving to the proper hotel on 7th Street in Wilshire.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to have 6 rooms in there, and we're going to do like cooking classes, yoga classes, wow. Ayurvedic classes, talks with spiritual people that I'm dying to do,
wow.
like bring Mother Mira. You know Mother Mira?
No.
You have to meet her.
It's really? So she's here in L.A.?
No, she lives in Germany. She's from India. But she's such a beautiful soul. She just like looks at you and then does the chakti through that.
Wow.
Does the transmission through the eyes. It's really an amazing, amazing person.
Wow. Yeah. So when will that be launched, the new space?
The new space in October of next year.
Wow.
That we should be there. So right now we're just like choosing the right paints because everything that is going to go be there. It's like we are probably putting this new thing that I found. It's like a stucco that it will not, this material that it actually comes from Mexico, it looks like stucco, mm-hmm. but there will not grow mold in there.
Wow. Because and Wi-Fi probably like can't
living,
go through it.
It's like a living.
Wow.
In your walls. It's amazing.
That's incredible.
So the way it produces acidity or the way, I'm not exactly, because we're going to talk to them. So everything we're going to be in there is going to be totally into. And we're going to probably make also some wellness rooms.
Wow.
Where the rooms are like going to have infrared saunas that are like the ones I have in Syria also, that they are heat by water, not by electricity.
What's an EMF?
Because no EMFs. That's very important for people to know. Don't use electric blankets that will, or the car seats when you go in the car and you turn the seat.
So bad. It's like microwaving your private parts.
So bad for you.
Yeah.
So very important to do that. And so we're moving in October there.
Wow.
So I'm preparing all the products because now these things cannot be like, so like we have these bath salts.
Yeah, tell us about the bath.
These bath salts are, this is one bath, by the way.
I know. That's my kind of bath.
You want me to put all these in a bath?
Yeah.
You put all that in a bath, and inside there's this beautiful pouch with the different herbs. And so there's different kinds of baths. There's some for hormones. There's some for vata. There's some for pitta. There are some for muscles.
Wow.
And so inside there's this beautiful pouch that smells divine.
Wow.
Can I open
this one? Yes, of course, please. Yeah. The freesia is really trying to come over on us here. Yeah, this is when I do baths, they're pretty, I don't skimp. Like I do a whole thing of magnesium flakes when I do one bath.
But yeah, and then again, it's so how
this is
body
my kind of
responds
bath.
To the ocean. Like the ocean always has the same level of salt. Doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Exactly. It's so the water.
And it's how that is so good for you. So this one, which one is this one? It's the hormonal one.
I want to smell.
This is very earthy. It smells like very...
Oh, it does. It smells... I'm recognizing some herbs in it. Very earthy.
Yeah, what do you think is in there?
And it also has that, what's the one herb I'm smelling in it that's fantastic?
Chatavari.
Is that what it is? Root, that's what it is. Because it's like sweet but earthy at the same time. Yeah. So it's lovely. But a very, very could go masculine, feminine, even though I know it's hormonal. It doesn't feel overly feminine. It feels more medicinal.
Yeah.
Oh.
So then you take this and then just put it in water and boil it. And then after, put it in your bath.
The infusion.
And then and sometimes I take the bath and then actually take this and then just put it on my body while I'm in the bath. So it's really, so it's, you get more out of it. And then after you throw it away and then that's it.
That was your was your big medicinal bath.
Yes.
Yeah. You enjoy it.
Yeah. And don't think that I'm crazy telling you to use all this because it's actually, if I could put more, I will.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's it's and people really, can get this anywhere as well. Order from the site.
You can order from the site or go to Surya where we are right now at the Palisades.
Fantastic. I'm so grateful to have you here. One last thing I want you to do, if you will. I asked this of my friend, my meditation, you know, teacher friend who's from Brazil and she speaks Spanish, but I really love when I can, especially to other Colombian women or men, just letting them know in Spanish to the camera, anything's possible that they want to manifest. You're the product of it. So if you could tell them in Spanish, in your native language, like follow whatever you have to say to them to expand them.
Okay. En esta oportunidad quiero decirles que Ayurveda, así esté más en Estados Unidos, también lo puedes conseguir en Colombia. Es súper importante aprender a meditar. Porque nos va a ayudar a poder manejar el estrés en el que vivimos todos los días. Yo aprendí a meditar y fui al centro de meditación. Hay centros de meditación por todo el mundo y en Colombia, en todos los estados, en todos los departamentos, lo puedes conseguir. Simplemente vas y miras por meditación transcendental y ahí puedes ir al centro de meditación. Es muy lindo y realmente te cambia tu vida. En Ayurveda, simplemente hacerte una bianca. Si no tienes aceite de ajonjolí, simplemente coge aceite de oliva, que es divino para la piel. Te pone la piel muy, muy suave. Y la bianca es muy sencillo de hacer. Simplemente te haces cualquier parte que es una coyuntura, vas a hacer círculos en las coyunturas. Y en cualquier parte que es un músculo, haces para arriba y para abajo. O sea, este movimiento para arriba estás moviendo las toxinas en el sistema linfático que van a salir antes de que se vayan dentro de los tejidos. Y realmente mira qué te estás poniendo en tu cuerpo, qué estás comiendo. Y especialmente en Latinoamérica, cuando todavía no estamos tan tóxicos como está en América, disfruta la belleza de frutas y de naturaleza que tenemos. Estaba hablando al principio de que fui a Santa Marta y estuve arriba en las montañas, cerca a la sierra, y conocí a un mamo que perfectamente divino me hizo estos dos hilos. Y cuando estaba haciendo la ceremonia, poniéndonos en mi mano, me estaba diciendo que si él me ponía esto en mi muñeca, era para que tenía que prometerle que yo iba a cuidar la naturaleza, iba a cuidar la tierra. Y todos tenemos que hacer esto, tenemos que cuidar la tierra, tenemos que cuidar la naturaleza, o si no, vamos a perder esta belleza que tenemos. Y Colombia fue donde yo nací. Hay sitios muy lindos y Sudamérica todavía muy, muy lindos que todavía no ha llegado el hombre a explotar. Tratemos de cuidarlos y de no dejar que se explote más.
Wait, they got lucky and they got to hear how to do an abhyanga. And yes, everybody, it's so important to meditate every day. But will you tell anybody also in English what you said of how to do abhyanga as well?
So the abhyanga is what we do is that any place that is a joint, we do round circles. So like we're moving the toxins out of there. And then we pull them to the, we'll go up and down. And then very important to do the lymphatic system too. So always not just only do here too.
When I'm doing it, I do it like this. Is that okay that
yes,
I do it?
But very important to do the circles
one?
Here.
So
like you're
this.
Moving, because the joints are more complex.
Yes.
So there's more toxins that can get in there.
Ah.
So that's why you do circles. So like you're moving them.
I do it like this. That's bad.
No, there's nothing bad. It's better that you do something than nothing.
Yeah.
But you do circles. Circles, that's the idea. Do the circular. The circular. Yeah, do the circular. And then you go up and down and then circular. So muscles up and down, joints around.
Yes.
And then you do your stomach to clockwise to the way it goes, the digestion. And then your joints again here. The major joints, you go everything in a circle and then you go up and down. The idea is doing it, so once you do it from the arms, you go towards your heart and then the feet towards your heart. And spend sometimes your hands, because here you can access all your organs. The same thing with your ears and feet. The same thing with the bottom of your feet.
Yes.
So very, very important. So spend some time with that and then just take a shower.
Yeah.
And then just let the oil go deeper into your body.
And it helps detoxify.
Detoxify.
Yeah.
But through the hot water also, and makes the oil go deeper into the tissues. And the oil, if you cannot get an herbalized oil, you can get it in the website, all the different oils, the vata, the pitta, and the kapha. And if you think you are a combination of both, you are a vata and a pitta, so which is cold and fiery, you can combine two bottles and you make a vata pitta oil.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. I love that. That's such a good hack. Oh, thank you so much, Marta, for being with us, for sharing your wisdom, for being so generous with your time. And we're grateful. And thank you for the bread. I can't wait to eat it.
No, you're welcome.
We'll have it at our meeting. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Yes.
And thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining today. And if today's episode piqued your curiosity about manifestation, head over to freeandnative.com and click on Start Here, where you'll find a video of me giving you all of my recommendations of how to navigate manifestation from here on out. And again, if you liked it, please comment below, review, and share with a fellow manifester. And if you're looking for the like-minded community that you might be manifesting, head over to our Facebook group called The Secret Society. You can find that on our homepage. And make sure to sign up for our newsletter, where we send out new manifestation content and how to digest it and put it into practice twice a month. Have a beautiful day.